Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that you're listening to these Seeds of Faith. Our prayer here at the Seed Christian Fellowship is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. This is just a seed of faith, and we're going to start a new series. We're going to call it, I Believe. We're going to look at the Apostles' Creed during this time. I really want us to know what we believe. We're going to look at the Apostles' Creed before we go to our reading from Deuteronomy and Hebrews. Let us just hear the Apostles' Creed. Maybe you know it by heart and you want to say it with me. But the Apostles' Creed is a creed that was established long, long time ago so that we would know what we believe. Listen, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed. When I was in seminary a long, long time ago, we had to memorize passages from the Bible in the original Hebrew and Greek languages. And one of the passages I memorized was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It's called the Shema, because the first word in Hebrew is shama, which means hear or obey. For the Hebrew people, to hear was to obey. Here is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5 in Hebrew. Shama Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Hagat, Vahata Eit, Adonai Elohika, Bako, Lavavka, Ufko, Nofika, Ufko, Modeka. These words were given to the people of Israel by Moses. The Israelites had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were about to enter into the promised land, and they're given these words to encourage them, to help them keep their faith. The Shema from the Old Testament is equivalent to the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament. The Hebrew people would recite this prayer and teach it to their children so they would remember God and place their faith in God and listen to the powerful words in English. Seeing how most of us don't know Hebrew, in English it is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Our New Testament reading for today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It's often called the Hall of Faith. Our reading will tell us what faith is. The word faith is used 23 times. I encourage you to take and read Hebrews 11 this week. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Rahab, and by faith Moses. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, walls fell. By faith, women received back their dead, and by faith, they lived. What more can we say by faith? Before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, as we study these words of faith, and as we take this summertime, we'll look at the Apostles' Creed. We pray, come Holy Spirit, help us to have faith to believe in what we read and what we know about Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and we'll pick up on verse 32 through 40 today. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was visible. Now, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The Apostles' Creed. Let's talk about that for a little bit today. The Apostles' Creed gets its name from the apostles who followed Jesus: Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Thomas, and the rest. One tradition has it that each disciple was responsible for one line in the creed. However, most scholars do not believe this. The earliest reference of the Apostles' Creed is found around the middle of the 2nd century, around 140 AD, roughly a little over 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. The earliest written form of this creed is found in a letter that Marcellus of Ancyra wrote in Greek to Julius, the bishop of Rome, about 341. 50 years later, Irenaeus Rufinus wrote a commentary on this creed in Latin. You have in your writings, and maybe you have it in your hands or you have it on a computer, the writings of a document that is at least 1,879 years old, the Apostles' Creed. 1,879 years old. Stop and ponder the millions of people who have recited this creed throughout the years. 1,879 years this creed has been around. Think of the people who have recited it, prayed it, and believed it. When we say the Apostles' Creed, we are not just expressing our own faith or what we believe individually. We are joining our voices with a great cloud of witnesses from across the centuries, people from every tribe and nation. Over the past few years, there's been a catchphrase that is usually repeated in, well, political debates, discourses, and discussions called, quote-unquote, the rule of law. For the early church, the Apostles' Creed was known as the rule of truth. Let me say that again. For centuries, the Apostles' Creed was known as, quote-unquote, the rule of truth, or the rule of faith. Regula fidea in Latin, or the Roman world would say, this rule of faith was not to replace Scripture or supersede Scripture in any way, but it was used to, Well, corroborate, verify, validate, and teach the scriptures. Honestly, what would happen in our world today if we went back to teaching the rule of truth, the rule of faith? Like the guy in the movie, The Princess Bride, inconceivable! The Latin word for creed is credo, and it literally means, I believe. The creed means, I believe. Our so what question comes early today. So what do you believe? What do you believe? Who do you believe? Why do you believe? How do you believe? It is my prayer as we go through this series this summer that we will come to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. The truth is that we all believe in something. The atheist who says there is no God is stating their belief, no God. The Buddhist believes in Buddha. The Hindu believes in karma. The Muslim believes in Allah. Every man-made religion has its own beliefs and practices. The word believe, quote-unquote, is used 253 times in the New Testament and another 30 times in the Old Testament. Faith, the word faith, is another word for believe, and it is used 420 times in the Bible. Just in the Hall of Faith chapter 11 of Hebrews, the word faith is used 23 times. Faith means an assent. Faith is believing that certain things are true. Faith means trust. When we say that there was once a man called Jesus who lived, died, and rose again, we are affirming our belief or our trust in Jesus. And as Christians and followers of Jesus, we don't just believe in something, we believe in someone. Faith is not about believing that God exists. It is anchoring ourselves, our lives, and all we have in God. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're going to be doing a series on the Apostles' Creed. I've called it I Believe. I pray that you join us in these series. If you have a special prayer request, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer request icon. Type your prayer. You can mark it if you want us to reply. You can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. I'll respond to you. We're talking about, I believe. When we say, you know, faith is not about believing God exists. It's anchoring ourselves, our lives, and all that we have in God. When I turned 40, I left a 20-year career with a nice paying job. I had two company cars, free insurance, and a fairly nice salary. We owned a house, and our three children didn't seem to lack for much, but I mentioned that I was a self-made man. For many years, I got by not trusting in anyone or anything myself. And then God called me into seminary. Those 3 years in seminary, I learned my Greek and my Hebrew and church history and ethics and church polity and pastoral care. But the main lesson that God taught me during seminary was not found in a textbook. God taught me one simple word, trust, T-R-U-S-T, trust. Trust. I love acrostic, so E is for two, R is for rest, U is under, S is for salvations, E is for tree, two, rest, under, salvations, tree. I learned to trust while I spent those 3 years in seminary. I had to learn to trust God for my daily bread. I had to learn to trust God for my finances. I had to learn to trust God with my family. I had to learn to trust God with everything that I held so tightly to. I had to let go and let God fill my hands. When I left my job in 1994, I no longer had two free, no-maintenance vehicles. I no longer had free insurance. I no longer had much of a salary. I was a full-time seminary student, and I had to learn to trust God for everything. We had our oldest daughter was in college, and our two other children were in high school. Trust me, Dave. Quote, trust me, Dave. was my mantra for those 3 years. Here's some history. The early creed was developed as a baptismal confession. In the early church, we're going back to say around 140 AD, the disciples of Jesus were taught this creed over a period of time. They had to memorize each word and the meaning of this Trinitarian statement about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. On their baptismal time, every person had to say the Apostles' Creed. Wow, that's a powerful thought. If you were baptized, you would have to say the Apostles' Creed. So what? On the day of their baptism, each person waded into the water, and the pastor asked them if they believed, what they believed, and if they believed, and they would respond, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth." They would then be immersed under the water, and they would come back up. The pastor would ask them a second time, "What do you believe?" And they would respond, "And in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead." They would be immersed back under the water for a second time. Pastor would ask them a third time, "What do you believe?" And they would respond, "I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Then they would be immersed the third time, finally to come up again out of the depths of the water into a new life of faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Wow, kind of cool, isn't it? If you ever want to be baptized that way, I'm in for it. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to encourage you to go to your local church and talk to your pastor about baptism. Baptism is this outward sign of the inward reality of God working in our hearts. If you don't have a home church, let me know. I'll help you find a home church. You can always join us on our live streams at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, or I'll find you a church in your area where you can fellowship. Maybe you want to be baptized this week or next week. Go talk to your pastor. Come talk to me. Back in 2005, I was on a mission team that went to Peru. We built a church outside of Lima. We built this lovely church, and the people were so thankful. I even got to preach in that little church. It had four walls, no screens on the windows. And after the church was completed, our team went up to tour a little town in the Andes Mountains called Canta. That Sunday morning, we went out to the river on the edge of the town. We were at 10,000 feet above sea level in the Andes Mountains in Peru. The river was running swiftly, and it was freezing cold, but it was baptismal day. The Peruvians in Canta, they dressed up in white robes by the riverbank, and they walked out into the freezing water one by one. Each of the pastors took turns with the baptism. We would ask them their name. Then we would ask them why they wanted to be baptized. One by one, the person would turn to members of their families and the church, and there, in that cold, freezing water, they declared and they recited what they believed. I will never forget that experience. I will never forget the joy, the excitement, and the new lives that were proclaimed by professing what they believed. Well, today, we begin a study, the study of the Apostles' Creed. From 140 AD to 2023, I thought it was fitting that the first line is, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth." That's a powerful thing. I happen to be married to a woman whose father is her hero, and, well, he's my hero. I've known Andy for, 47 years. I've never seen him lose his temper, although he gets worked up over politics. I've never seen him throw anything or hit anything. For 47 years, I've listened to my wife call her father, Daddy-O. She would say, "Hi, Daddy-O," or just Daddy. You know what he calls me? He calls me for 65 years. He calls his wife, he calls my wife baby doll or baby or sweetheart. The other day I was talking to my wife and I was sharing with her about how lucky and blessed she is to have a father like she does. Her answer, "I wish everyone could have a father like mine." You know what? We do. We do have a father. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Our Father is the Father Almighty. Do you know what Almighty means? Almighty means absolute power over all. So whether your dad is your hero or whether he's not, if you believe, your Heavenly Father is your hero. He is the creator of heaven and earth and has absolute power over everything. You're closing, so what? Imagine. We are standing by your favorite river, lake, ocean, maybe an ocean spot. We go to Pirate's Cove where a lot of baptisms take place. Or maybe you're by a waterfall and it's time for you to be baptized. Maybe you want to remember your baptism. That would be a good thing to do. You're in a white robe. Your family and your church family are all there with you. And now you say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And down you go, for the first time, under your favorite body of water. I have three words for you. Wow. That would be like Happy Father's Day. Listen to the creed again as we begin this series. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Stay with us over the next several weeks this summer as we study the Apostles' Creed and what we believe. My challenge is to you, what do you believe? Who do you believe in? How do you believe? We're going to study that during this time. We're going to look at this ancient creed and see what we believe. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your grace. Your grace that is amazing, your grace that is sufficient. And I pray for those that are struggling at this time to believe. I pray that you would strengthen them through the power of your Holy Spirit and fill them with your grace for each moment. Let them know that they're not alone, that you're never going to leave them, that you're never going to abandon them, that you will always be with them, that you've adopted them as sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know here at the Seed Christian Fellowship to come to know God's love, to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, to grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Our prayer is that you will know that God loves you, and so do we. God bless, and have a blessed day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.